And we're back on Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. Paul DeTino and Roman Oben with you. Now, Roman, the Giants have lost five in a row. They are 3-7, but they are going up against the division rival, as Coach Coughlin talked about. That gets the emotions bubbling, and they did play the Cowboys very competitively earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you're right about, Paul, is that this is the divisional rival, and they have a chance to prove in this division that they can at least take some mustard off of what the Dallas Cowboys have been doing thus far. And when you're playing a national game, and despite the unfortunate circumstances that have led to this five-game losing streak, the Giants can do one of two things. They can prove that they're better than their record by going out there and beating the Cowboys, or some of the things that they've done poorly the last few weeks will continue to resurface, stopping the run, running the ball, not turning the ball over. So as Tom Coughlin alluded to, this is a week where, look, he had to get up and look at the faces. It's Wednesday practice, beginning of the week.
Sure.
And get these guys ready to play, put them in a position to be successful. And Coach Coughlin has always done a good job of just being highly accountable in terms of that.
Roman, it's time for our Geico News of the Day. 15 minutes can save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Or go to geico.com. Now, Jeff Schwartz, as you heard Coach Coughlin allude to, is back at practice. They desperately need him to play. The question, of course, is coming off that dislocated toe in the preseason, what can you expect from him?
Well, I think when you're active and you're ready to play as an offensive lineman with those lower extremity issues, whether it's, you know, tape jobs and all these other things that he's doing to protect himself. But I know for a fact that Jeff Schwartz has really worked hard, you know, putting his body, putting his feet, his legs in that position to drive and fire off the ball. It's not like a receiver where you can go and catch a couple of passes and run out of bounds. I mean, when you're in, you're live. You see the spin move in one-on-ones. And I mean, those are the types of things that Schwartz is going to have to do to enable himself to be successful on Sunday. I mean, this is an offensive line that desperately needs Jeff Schwartz this week.
Roman, let's take a look at the guys who are down on the injury report. You heard the talk about Jaquan Williams. Coming off of a concussion, it sounds like from Coach Coughlin, he's kind of like a day-to-day thing. He's not going to practice today. And then there's Justin Pugh, the Giants' right tackle, who aggravated a quad in the game last weekend. He will not practice and is day-to-day.
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the Jaquan Williams concussion, obviously. He's got to get cleared, can do more. But, you know, you look at Pugh, I think his absence from the team, you could really show it in terms of pass protection. And, I mean, look at what he does on the goal line. Giants fans would love to see Jennings come in and score. And then in terms of just pass protection, his feet, you know, this is a year where he's really settling in at that right tackle position. He's got good balance, leverage. He's not a big, tall guy, but he's only about 6'4", so he can get underneath defenders. And again, pass protection is huge. I mean, and that's where Justin Pugh was missed in terms of protecting the passer. And when you saw Eli Manning force a lot of those throws that were unfortunately intercepted.
As a matter of fact, Pugh has not allowed a sack since that Philadelphia game,
right,
in which he had a lot of difficulties earlier this year, but it's been a good month for him in terms of pass pro.
Yeah, Justin Pugh, and he vowed, we spoke after that Eagles game, he knows what he has to do to get better. Young player, highly accountable, and again, he was on course of really having a better second half than he did since that Eagles game.
All right, now, as far as the O-line is concerned, the Giants have run for less than 70 yards in each of their last two games, averaged only 3.1 yards a carry. Now, Coach Coughlin himself said Charlie Brown did not fare very well when he came in for Pugh at right tackle the other
right.
day. Is that the easiest spot to just put Schwartz into?
Well, it spoke volumes to me that Charles Brown is really ahead of Brewer in that regard, but maybe James Brewer this week through the week of practice gives him another option in terms of what's the best solution at that right tackle position if Pugh doesn't play. I know you said Pugh definitely wants to play, but you might have to look at Brewer in that right tackle as well.
All right, let's get a look at our Twitter question, folks, and it comes from Work the Hardest. He wants to know, why did Eli suffer with the turnovers against the 49ers, had five interceptions? Eli himself said poor decisions and accuracy problems were the causes.
Yeah, and out of those five interceptions, Paul, I would say maybe two of them were, you know, forced throws or trying to hurry or getting it to the receiver before he came out of his break. This one was his bad positioning. But then also, Paul, there were some interceptions that were just forced throws because the pass protection was poor. And when you get in the quarterback's face, he can't settle his feet, he can't look downfield, he can't find his progressions. When you've got linemen, offensive and defensive linemen in front of him, you look, when Eli Manning's doesn't have a nice solid pocket, or any quarterback for that matter, you're going to underthrow passes, overthrow them, and sometimes flat out just throw them to the wrong person.
And right now, that's the real surprising thing about Eli, is that he'd been so clean in terms of his turnovers until that game last weekend. And that's the disappointing part about it, because he had done so well staying away from those things.
Yeah, and I think, you know, in terms of in a golf analogy, I mean, he's allowed one mulligan, but it's unfortunately right. came at the wrong time. But, yeah, Eli Manning up to that point has done a significant job of reducing the turnovers that, you know, led to what happened in the 2013 season.
Let's flip the page, Roman, and talk about the Giants' defense for a second. Now, looking at the numbers, 148 yards and a 5 yard per carry average by the Niners in that game. Gore didn't get to 100, but I think there were bits and spurts during that game where the Giants would have preferred to shut down the run a little bit better.
Well, if you compare the week before with Marshawn Lynch and, you know, that beast mode and him running over defenders, I think with the Frank Gore and what the 49ers do, they do two tights, gap and power, and Frank Gore really gets his momentum as he gets downfield more. So, but when he gets momentum, it's hard to tackle. So if you don't have the gap integrity at the line of scrimmage to prevent him from taking that corner, then you've got to tackle this guy. So you saw a case where Frank Gore is really getting to the sidelines quickly, having all that momentum.
You know, it looked to me, Roman, that defensively the Giants actually had done well enough to win most games. They gave up the one touchdown on a catch and run by Crabtree. And quite honestly, most often that's going to be okay.
Yeah, and you're not going to totally neutralize guys like Frank Gore or Crabtree. But you made them kick a lot of field goals, so the scoring defense was good last Sunday. I think offense at some point had to have some longer drives, keep them off the field, 7 points, 3 points, and give that defense a rest so they can go full tilt in the second half. Unfortunately, Paul, that didn't happen.
You know what I want to mention, too? Special teams really good last week for
right.
the second game in a row. You know, they had a rough start earlier in the year, especially on punt coverage. But the kickoff coverage has been among the best in the league all season long. Josh Brown continues to be extremely consistent as a kicker. And then you had Mark Herzlich recovering a surprise onside kick, which the Giants haven't done since 2004.
Yeah, and the fact that that Coach Coughlin and the special teams decided to go for the onside kick, that gave trust in the teammates, people on the sidelines, that we want to go out there and win this game and take this game away from the 49ers. Unfortunately, Paul, Herzlich did a great job. I think he had 9 tackles, including that recovery on the outside kick. Unfortunately, offense didn't do enough to make up to capitalize on that turnover.
All right, we'll see how the Giants maybe pull out some more tricks from their playbook as they take on the Dallas Cowboys. They are 7-3. They are coming off of a bye. And it's another one of those big-time rematches in the NFC East. Stick around. More to come after this.
Fitness and wellness have always been part of my game plan for success. And now the New York Giants have teamed up with Hackensack University Medical Center to build a state-of-the-art facility to help you stay fit and well. Hackensack UMC Fitness and Wellness, powered by the Giants, features a world-class fitness center, saltwater filtered pools, a sports performance center, Beyond Day Spa. Stop in to check out the new facility on Route 17 in Maywood or visit giants.com/fitness to learn more about memberships.
And welcome back to Giants Press Conference Live, presented by Hackensack University Medical Center. So the Dallas Cowboys come in here at 7-3, but Roman, I'm sure both teams will be looking at the films very carefully of that game on October the 19th. Dallas beat the Giants 31-21 down in the Big D, right, but the Giants were very much in that game throughout.
Yeah, and if you I think there's a turnover by Larry Donnell going into the scoring territory. I think that really broke the camel's. That was a straw that broke the camel's back, and that game would have been a little bit more competitive, and the Giants had a chance to win. And so I think, in addition to despite the fact the Giants have lost five in a row, and Dallas is on a mission this year, you have to look at that first game in terms of the matchups and say, what can they do better than that matchup? What can they exploit in terms of the Dallas Cowboys?
You might remember it was Cowboys owner Jerry Jones who said Tony Romo played the best game he had ever seen in that win over the Giants. The numbers were 20 of 27 for 246 with three touchdowns. He was sacked once. Now, you know, last game against Jacksonville before the bye, a lot of people didn't know if he was going to play because of that back injury. But he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, and Tony Romo, you know, get on that flight, going out to, you know, to London, I believe. This game, you know, he looked good. He looked physical. He moved his feet around. I mean, he's a guy that can always, he rolls out to his left and always throws in the middle of the field. I think at that point they were throwing the ball a lot in the middle of the field, that deep middle. So, I mean, those are some of the things that the Dallas Cowboys are going to continue to do well. You've got to make sure you tackle Tony Romo when you get him in that position. Now, guys like JPP have a big responsibility this week.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Romo responds now that he's had a week off with that bad back. Now, Dez Bryant, coming off of his best game of the year against Jacksonville, also had a great game against the Giants the first time around. In fact, he's had three 100-yard games this season against the Giants in Jacksonville. He went over a buck 50.
Yeah, Dez Bryant, continuously one of the better talented receivers in the National Football League. And again, he uses his size, he uses his body well. He's got a lot more speed than you think, but because he's so big, and he can break tackles. I mean, Dez Bryant breaks tackles like a running back out in the secondary, and he plays that emotion and passion that you need at that position. So Dez Bryant, you know, coming off a bye week, he's another guy that's looking to probably be a difference maker for this secondary. So this secondary's got a big task at hand.
Dallas still primarily, though, is about DeMarco Murray running the ball. We know he leads the NFL in rushing. In fact, he's the only running back with over 1,000 yards so far this year. But here's something I wanted to touch on, Roman. His touches are down. In the last 3 weeks, he's only averaging 24 touches a game. Prior to that, it was 30 touches a game. I think they know durability could be an issue for him down the stretch.
Well, we talked about that the first half of the season that, I mean, he was averaging probably 30 carries
touches
a game. I mean, he was in that high number. But you knew the sustainability of that as you got into November and December was going to be a challenge. So I think now you're seeing that he's getting more high percentage touches where they're being selective about the carries that he has. And now you're probably going to see a lot more balls downfield. You'll see some distribution. Obviously, Jason Witten, a guy we haven't discussed, he's in that factor as well. But
sure,
definitely looking at this running game. He slowed down a little bit, but he's still very effective.
Now, of course, you got to worry about that Cowboys offensive line, which has done a great job for Murray. I want to give you a number about them, though, if the Giants are trying to exploit something. They are fourth in the NFL in offensive holding penalties. 19 been called against them. Frederick, the center, has been called four times. You got to take advantage of that.
No, it's good. And then you look at that inside three. I mean, because of that running game, they hold the D lineman a lot longer, especially on cutbacks. So you could see where you grab the defender on the outside of his body. When a running back cuts it back, or Tony Romo goes to spin to make those plays on the outside, that's when you see a lot of offensive linemen get their hands outside the framework. So if this is something the officials will see, that'll be an advantage for the Giants.
Let's flop it to the defensive side of the ball for the Cowboys. Opponent third down percentage, 43%, 21st in the league. That's one of the areas that they want to tighten up. But for the most part, this has been a surprising Dallas D, better than a lot of people thought.
Yeah, and I said this in the first game. I mean, Rod Marinelli, a defensive coordinator, has done an excellent job really maximizing the talent that he had on defense. And these guys are, you know, pound for pound. They play well together. You don't have a lot of stars on there. They obviously missed DeMarcus Ware, who's in Denver now, but they're still creating plays as a group. And that's something that this team is doing differently than anyone would have imagined going into the season.
Roman, I went back and looked at that first game against the Cowboys. Eli Manning really ate up their blitz. He was 7 of 8 passing for 73 yards and 4 first downs when the Cowboys sent extra pressure. So do you think they change it up this time?
Well, they might. But one thing you have to do with this defense, you've got to keep them on the field. That's when you start to expose them. They've benefited tremendously from this offense. you know, 35 minutes of time possession. So they're not on the field a lot. Now you're starting to see the second half of the season. They're not running the ball as much with DeMarco Murray. They're throwing the ball a little bit more. You will see this defense on the field a little bit more. Perhaps they could get exploited in the secondary or that D-line.
Defensive tackle Henry Melton with 5 sacks is the number one sacker on that unit right now. 4 sacks via the blitz for the Cowboys. So, again, it's not been a very effective tool for them. But Melton's a big guy, and you think that Richburg is probably going to match up against him.
Yeah, and when you don't have a marquee guy in terms of sacks, you're going to create pressure different ways. So you might see a blitz. They might send a 5th guy. You see this guy Melton who's having a good season. So you're going to have to find ways from a protection standpoint to make sure that their best guys don't get to the quarterback, getting rid of the ball quick, running the ball, dump passes, all those things neutralize a pass rush. And you got the screen game that we haven't seen since Rashard Jennings was injured before.
All right, Roman, we're getting ready for a Sunday night primetime game here at MetLife Stadium, the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. Don't forget to bring your new or gently used coats. It is the 19th annual coat drive the Giants are holding in conjunction with FedEx and New York Cares. Bring your materials, your garments, over to the Giants gates a couple hours before the game. We'll be glad to take them and help out some unfortunate people. Until next time, for Roman Oben, I'm Paul Dottino. We'll see you then.